And what I had in the car on the way home was a breakthrough. Because by the time I got home, it didn't matter how big the shortfall was. I knew that Jesus was my provider, and he was going to provide that shortfall. And within a week, that shortfall was made up in a miraculous way, almost to the dollar. And I remember as a young university student going, like, this is cool. As you experience it, as you wield the weapons that God gives us, and that fear and that doubt that I was living under, and I needed to break that in a hurry, because if I was going to preach the gospel, if I was going to be a pastor of a church one day, I needed to know how to break the spirit and the stronghold of fear and doubt and step into faith. Today, you need to know, if you're facing sickness in your body, not to have fear and doubt, but to know that you can have faith to overcome and see healing come in your body. And it might come because you decided to wield the sword of praise and to say, my God shall heal me. My God's taking care of me. My God is for me and not against me. And something begins to bubble up inside, and you're not just getting excited, getting your praise on. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the divine power of that weapon that you're beginning to realize. So I want to talk to you about that this morning. Prayer, praise is a powerful weapon with divine power. Listen to this from Psalm chapter 149. Praise the Lord! Exclamation mark. Sing to the Lord a new song. And we sang a new song that was new to us today. And this is also talking about when we get to the end of the song sometime, our musicians will just begin to play and they'll say, hey, make a song up in your heart today. And you begin to just maybe a phrase or a couple words where you just kind of put music to it and begin to sing a new song. And his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with a dance or the hop or the jump, whatever you're comfortable with. You may not know how to dance, and I certainly don't, but I can jump. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure. The Lord takes pleasure in his people and in his people praising him the way he's asked. He will beautify the humble with salvation. And that word salvation is deliverance. It's setting free from anything that's contrary to God's will, anything that's contrary to what God wants. It's contrary to blessing. It's anything that sickness or cursing or whatever is contrary to what God says, he wants to save you from that. Yes, save us from our sins. We believe as we worship, and there are people, and there always are, that are here visiting, or they're learning, they're coming to find out or learn about God. They belong, but they don't believe yet. That might be you today. And then all of a sudden in a worship service, the presence of God is made real to them, and they begin to understand that he is the God of salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. That we wake up on Monday morning, not tomorrow morning, because that's going to be a good day. That's a day off. But on Tuesday morning, which is our new Monday, and we're not going, oh, I got to go to work today. But instead, there's a song. You wake up with a song. Why? Because you've chosen to be a praiser, a worshiper, somebody who lifts and proclaims the praises of God, who's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now watch this as we lead up to this verse. Let the high praises of God, and the high praises, that crescendo praise that just spontaneously happens when we're here or you're in your car. I'm talking about corporate praise today, but it's in the car praise too, or wherever you find yourself breaking through. And so it says the high praise, the crescendo praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. A praise in your mouth, a sword in your hand. A real sword? No. A sword that fights against principalities and powers in the high places. You see, praise is a weapon. Praise in my mouth, a sword in my hand. Hey, it gets better. To execute vengeance on the nations. Now, in the Old Testament, as they were a people taking literal ground, fighting against literal nations that were ungodly nations that God was judging by using his people. Today, the Bible says that the gospel is for all nations. God's judgment is on people. It's on the principalities and the power, the evil in this world. And so we can read it this way, to execute vengeance on the principalities and powers. the principalities and powers that might be giving you a hard time? Would you like to execute vengeance on them and to punishments on those demons, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment? And God has written a judgment against the devil and his angels, to execute on them written judgment. This honor God has given you. It's an honor to praise God, not just to be intimate with him and to praise him, but to wield a sword that says, I'm in the Lord's army and it is my honor to cut the head off of fear, to cut the head off of anxiety, to kill depression, to kill addiction, and just simply knowing that we are executing judgment against the enemy. I got four people with me today. Maybe by the end, I'll have a few more. Feel free to get as excited as I am, or just watch me do it. I don't care. Online, I hear you. I know you're with me this morning. I want to talk to you about King Jehoshaphat. Many of you are familiar with this passage. There are some things that are just fresh to me, and I want to share them with you this morning. As we talk about wielding our sword of praise, this powerful, powerful weapon, both corporately, and I kind of think it kind of starts and finishes in the corporate setting. And in our huddle today, Ryan was exhorting us and just talked about, you know, when we're at home, you know, and we're with the Lord, and here when we're together, something happens. And I think that he was talking about being prepared for Sunday services. So all week we're preparing, but something happens in the corporate gathering of God's people. It's very, very powerful when it comes to worship and praise. In the story we're going to read, Jehoshaphat, the king of God's people at that time, is facing the battle of all battles. And it's described this way in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It happened after this that the people of Moab, and I don't have time to develop who the Moabites were, but they have a really bad beginning, going back to Lot and an incestuous relationship that took place with Lot when he escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Moabites were birthed, just a horrible enemy of God's people, the Moabites, with the people of Ammon. Well, it's bad enough to have the Moabites. It would be bad enough to have the Ammonites, but to have both the Moabites and the Ammonites, and others with them beside the Amorites. Oh, others. Oh, great, others. Moabites, Ammonites, and others came to battle against Jehoshaphat. You ever feel surrounded in your life? You ever feel like it's just one of those months, one of those years, maybe for you, one of those weeks or months, but maybe for you, one of those years, where it's not just a perpetual enemy that you've dealt with, but that enemy teamed up with another enemy, and then there's others, say the others. See, this is all over the place. Enemies coming against us. We're at battle. We're in the Lord's army. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, beside the Amorites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. He is surrounded. And Jehoshaphat feared. Fear is a natural instinct, and we don't stay in fear or live in fear or allow fear to become a stronghold, but it's okay to start there and realize, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Jehoshaphat realized he was in trouble. And so he wasn't going to stay in fear. It goes on and says, he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself. He made a decision, in other words. He didn't feel like it. He didn't have his praise on. Everything wasn't going great that week. Woo! Can't wait to get to the house of God and make some noise today. No, it was one of those, oh boy, I'm surrounded all around. I don't even want to go to church today. But he set himself. Say, set yourself. And we do that. We need to do that, where we set ourselves to seek the Lord. We set our mind. We set our volition and our will. It's an act of the will. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Fasting is another weapon that we're not going to cover. Fasting is a powerful, powerful weapon. So he's utilizing that weapon as well. And they come together in this season of fasting, and they gather together like we've gathered today, and they begin to worship the Lord. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord, just like we do, our kids with us, and teaching them how to worship, teaching them how to focus on the Lord, and helping them in our service, and our wives, our whole families together worshiping the Lord. And as that happened, just like it happens with us here, the presence of God begins to stir. Some people say, wow, there was energy in the room. That's good energy. Well, yeah, he has a name. It's Holy Spirit. He's in our midst. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is here. Yeah, it's... I was talking to someone actually recently, and I could tell they had a New Age background, but I was just appealing, and we were talking about, I used the word energy because for me it doesn't need to be a bad thing, and she was going, you know, you really are able to read energy, and I go, yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's called discerning of spirits and the prophetic gift of the Lord, but just... And I go, I can tell you're a very empathetic person. She goes, oh, wow, you really are good at reading energy. And we were just talking. But see, we came into some common ground, and I was able to talk to her about that the Holy Spirit has power. It's not just energy. It's power. And it's not us, but what resides in us. And that's another sermon. I better get going back here. And so they're in this worship service, and there's a sense of the presence, and they're just before the Lord going, God! Help! And God's spirit begins to stir, and the prophet begins to take his place, Jehaziel. And he stood up and he began to prophesy to the people under this unction. And he said, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed because of this great multitude of being surrounded. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Now, think about this. He says, they're thinking, okay, so tomorrow when we wake up, we've got to head down to the enemy lines. And the enemy's going to be standing there with their swords and their shields and their spears and a whole bunch of rocks that they're going to be throwing on the front lines. And we're supposed to go down and face that enemy, stand toe to toe, nose to nose, until they sound and we're going to enter into hand-to-hand combat. We're going to enter into this battle. And you're telling me, Jehoshaphat, that I have no weapons? No weapons. Can I at least go with a rock? A rock would be good. Could we just have a rock? No rock. Can I a slingshot? No slingshots. Go down and face the enemy tomorrow and go without weaponry. Well, nothing. Take nothing. You're just showing up for battle, and God is going to fight for you. You just need to show up for battle, and God's going to fight for you. Come on, I'm going to say it again. You got to show up for battle, and God's going to fight for you. See, tomorrow morning, what he was saying is, I want you to face the stronghold of fear, and I want you to go against it. Tomorrow morning, I want you to face the stronghold of rejection, that spirit that comes on you, and you are sure that when other people are talking over here at work, that they're talking about you. You live in paranoia because you're just thinking everybody's against you. You thinking everybody's gossiping against you. You live in this torment and fear that there's a buzz around, because somewhere in your life, a spirit of rejection, a stronghold of rejection came on your life. You're convinced that everybody's rejecting you, pushing you away. I have no friends. I've never been able to have friends. Came to this friendly church. Don't even have friends here. That is a stronghold of thinking in your mind that God wants you to get up tomorrow morning and face head on and say, no, I'm accepted in the beloved of God. I'm accepted by God. I'm not rejected. God wants you to wake up tomorrow morning and face the stronghold of anxiety and worry. Anxiety and worry has come to the surface as we're talking. And I think it's good that we're talking about mental illness. I think it's awesome that we're identifying when we're in trouble and we need help. And we talk about anxiety. But the more we feed and talk about it, the more the mountain of anxiety, I think we're identifying our society is getting larger and larger and larger, and it's getting larger in your life. It's getting larger in my life if I allow it and keep speaking about it. Instead, God's saying, get up tomorrow morning and face the spirit and stronghold of anxiety and begin to do battle against it. Instead, face the spirit of anxiety and get ready to do battle against it. I know. Anxiety grips so many. It's hard to get excited about it because you're wondering, how could I ever overcome it? Because it's not your battle, it's His. It's not your battle, it's His. Tomorrow morning, God wants you to walk right up to depression and despair. I'm here for battle. Abandonment, the stronghold that tells you you can't trust anybody. You can't have meaningful relationship with anybody. It's keeping you from really getting close to your spouse because somewhere, maybe a mom walked out on you or a dad walked out on you or a former partner walked out on you and devastated you on the inside and you don't realize there's a lie that you believe that relationships are not lasting. Relationships will never last. Just get ready for it to end. Just get ready for it to be abandoned. But one more time, maybe you waited for a father or a mother to pick you up on the front porch of the house when it was their time in custody and they never showed up and left you waiting there week after week after week. And a stronghold of abandonment came and you just believe relationships can never be meaningful. No one will ever be there for me. And God wants you to step up to a spirit of abandonment because Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, even to the end of the age. Come on, something's happening in this room right now. You're going to praise your way into freedom. Praise is a very powerful, it's one of the most powerful weapons that He has given us. It's not to get your praise on. It's not to get emotionally high. It's to go to war and know that you can find freedom. Spirit of shame. That something horrible happened to you. You didn't ask for it. Someone did something against your will and a cloak of shame went on you. Today God's saying, I want you to face the shame. I want you to praise your way out of shame. Remember, as all this is going on, it's in the context of this worship service. God has been speaking through His prophet Jehaziel. In this worship service, as God's presence came in a profound way, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. I've done that on occasion where I've just felt the presence of God so weighty and heavy. And that's what glory means in the Old Testament. We say the glory of God, the presence of God. It actually has weight to it. You can feel it. And he got as low, he just wanted to humble himself, as low as he could go, his face on the ground. And he's laying there and he's just thinking about this battle and thinking about what he's to do. As he's worshiping the Lord, it says, all of the people did this. This is a principle. Psalm 34 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's magnify the Lord together. Well, how do you magnify? How do you make God bigger? You can't make God bigger. He's as big as he's going to be. But how big is God? And Karen said this earlier. How big is God compared to your problem? Is your problem bigger than your God? Well, often we start there if we'll be truthful about it. Often if we were just honest about it, the problem seems way bigger. The army seems much bigger than God. And so what we do is we begin to proclaim the goodness of God, the greatness of God. Jehovah Jireh. My provider, I guess, His grace is sufficient for me. I suppose. But then something happens because you're wielding. You're choosing to set yourself like Jehoshaphat did. Come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And then God in your heart gets bigger and bigger. I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. Now listen to this. He didn't deliver you from what you were afraid of. He didn't deliver you from what you're afraid of. He delivered you from the fear so that you could face what you're afraid of. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. As you begin to wield on a regular basis, and you become a praiser and a worshiper, and that's your lifestyle. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to have the high praises of God every morning as I get up. God, thank you for breath this morning. I worship the God who's for me and not against me. He delivers me from the things I'm afraid of. Magnify the Lord. Remember, these weapons have divine power. Think of the story. I'll just remind you of it, of Elijah. He's out with his servant, and all of the natural armies of Assyria are gathered around them. They're done toast as well. But then he says, we got those suckers outnumbered. And the servant of Elijah says, what are you talking about? And he said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And God showed him in the spirit realm all of the angelic hosts of armies that outnumbered Think about it. When the devil fell out of heaven, only one third of the angels went. We got twice as many angels on our side, plus the power of God, plus the company of God's people. We got these suckers outnumbered. We win. It's already been determined on Calvary. We win this. We're just fighting cleanup. We're just proving that God has fought for us, and we're going to do this. When we worship God and magnify the Lord, our spiritual eyes begin to open. We begin, that's what that sense of we start to feel like an overcomer. We feel like, and I knew as I headed home in that 76 Grand Torino that it was paid. Why? Because I could see in the spirit realm knowing that God had this under control. In this Jehoshaphat service, and we're going to do this just in a moment, we're going to do exactly what they did. As they're worshiping down this intimate, meditative moment, one of the Levites, he got excited. And the Levites were the priesthood, and as we read this, they were musical Levites. They're the ones that worshiped and led in worship. So the worship team came to lead, and the worship team of Jehoshaphat's time. And something happened in the worship team. Something started to happen in the worship team. They started to sense, they were a little bit ahead. Say ahead. I'm thankful for a worship team that prepares every week, has already paved the way into the Holy of Holies. Man, these guys do it with excellence. They do it. Can I just tell you we're blessed? And if you don't know we're blessed, tune into a couple live streams, you know, and listen to some of the people that just, they do the best they can, but they sing in a different key, and it's just hard to worship God when it sounds like nails on a chalkboard. Anyway, they make it easy to worship. They go ahead of us. And so in this service, the Levites start to get excited. It says, then the Levites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with loud and high voices. Loud and high voices. They stood up to praise. The word praise there is the Hebrew word hallel. We get our word hallelujah from it. And it's not a gentle word. It means to shine, to boast, and be clamorously foolish. So they're down on their face, and one of these crazy worshipers starts jumping around going, yeah, I can see it. We're going to win. We're going to win. Oh! And if you need kind of help with this, it's Stanley Cup, it's seventh game, whoever is going to be there, it's overtime, and it is nil, and it's your team. If you root for Boston, there, I'm sorry. If it's whatever, Sens, Montreal, Toronto, just pretend, imagine for a moment, and they're there, and somebody scores the winning goal, overtime, seventh game. You're doing what I just did, acting foolishly and clamorously because you won. And the cup is hoisted. Jesus hoisted the cup of salvation and deliverance on Calvary's cross. Jehoshaphat gets an idea when all of these Levites start going crazy. He gets an idea because I know what we're going to do tomorrow. I know what we're going to do. Tomorrow morning, you're not going to go. You're not going to go empty-handed. Actually, there is a weapon you're going to go with against the Ammonites and the Moabites and all the others. He said, I want you to go down, and we're going to put the worship team in front of the army. So they're going to be the point of the spear. And they began to sing and praise, and the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. As they put the worship team and the company of soldiers began praising and worshiping God, the atmosphere around those other armies began to change. They started getting confused. And remember, the principalities and powers have marching orders. This is a hierarchy. It's well, well organized. And they have marching orders against you and against me. But when we begin to praise and put our praise, spoken praise, shouted praise in, it's not praise until it's offered, into the atmosphere, the principalities and powers that are occupying that atmosphere, praise confuses them. They forget who they're fighting. And the Bible says that the Ammonites killed the Moabites who were killing the Ammonites and killing all the others. They turned on each other. and they won that day. Praise changes the atmosphere. I'm going to say it again. Praise changes the atmosphere. That's why when you come into this place and we're worshiping God and all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's energy in here. It's not energy. We changed the atmosphere. We changed it. And then we believe as a church that that atmospheric change starts to go further and further and further out. It follows us to work. It goes to school. It goes everywhere with us. We're couriers and carriers of His presence because we know how to wield the weapon of praise. We're going to do this. I want to just give you these 3 points real quick. How do we change the atmosphere? There's 3 things. He tells us what they are. The prophet told us, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Real quick, 3 things. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. To position yourself means take your place, take your station, and stand with your people. It's an army word. I'm challenging every person that calls this their home church that you'll renew your commitment as you arrive on Sunday morning. Whether we feel like it or we don't feel like it, the stakes are too high. We're going to battle. We're coming on Sunday morning to seek out the presence of God, take our place as a worshiper and one who will praise, to wield the sword, take our station, because if we're not at our station, somebody's missing. If you're not at your station to worship, we miss it here. If you decide, I don't want to worship today, the ceiling doesn't quite go as high. The atmosphere doesn't change the same. We're deciding, take our place, take our station. We're standing with our peeps going, I'm fighting for you. You fight for me. Let's change the atmosphere today. We're going to sing and strike, sing and strike. Position yourself and stand still. Well, please don't stand still and worship. That's not what it means. There's a lot of commotion. I want you to dance. I want you to jump. If you feel like you're going to bump into somebody, or you want to move your arms, come on down front. That's why we do have some space so you can do that. It means this. To stand still means cease from your own fighting. Cease from your own striving. Cease from trying to beat this thing yourself. Stay in the worship position. Hold your ground as a worshiper and be determined that no matter what, the enemy is not going to push me out of my worship position, and I won't strive to try to take charge of this situation. God's in charge. God, I worship the God who's in charge. Psalm 46 says, stop fighting. And know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme over the world. Stop trying to figure this out on your own. Allow God to do a work. And the last one, see the victory. This does not mean you'll experience the victory in this verse, but you will. This is a very, 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 very powerful thing. Because when you're in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, this word is roe, it's the word in the Old Testament for the seer, for the prophet who could see, and oftentimes as God speaks to me, I see what God is saying in pictures. I don't hear it with my ear, but in my spirit. And I often, as I'm closing my eyes, I see a momentary flash of what God's intending and what God's speaking. That's what this word is. When you're in worship, and God begins to show you His will for your life, hold on. That's the word. Stand, take your position, and see what God wants to do. He wants to show some people this morning what freedom looks like. He wants to show you today what it is, a life outside of fear, outside of addiction, outside of all of the things we've talked about today. And you'll be able to see that. A number of weeks ago, as I'm believing the Lord for some great things to happen in my family, the Lord said, how would you praise me today if all your kids and their partners and all your grandkids came in and sat down, took their place in the house of God? How would you praise me today? I went, oh my Lord, that would be some kind of praise meeting. He goes, see, stand from, see, praise me now the way you would in the victory. The most powerful praise is not the praise for the victory. It's not the praise for the victory, although that is powerful praise. It's praise that sees the victory and says, I know it's on the way. Come on, stand to your feet. We're going to do this.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Oh, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold and shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Come on, sing it out. Oh, to every soul held captive by depression, oh, speak Jesus. And Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. This morning, come on, sing out worship to him. Oh, your name is power, your name is healing. Oh, great, you are great. Oh, we worship you this morning. Yeah. Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
come on, shout Jesus one more time.
Yeah. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains. Oh, Jesus in the streets. And Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Today. Well, if you are, just put your hands together, lift your voice, and let's praise.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. Thank you.
There's always some crazy Levites in the house. Wow. Jesus. Father, in this moment of breakthrough, I thank you, Lord. There's praise in our mouth, but there's a two-edged sword in our hand. You've reminded us today at Harvest, Lord, that we're to wield the sword. We're to set ourselves. We're to stand firm. Lord, we're to position ourselves and we're to see. And Lord, all through this room right now, whatever people are seeing, let them land now on that's my victory. Right where you're standing right now, as you've seen it, that's your victory. Our prayer team's coming, and I would invite you to come and share it with one of our prayer team members. Say, this morning I saw, as we were praising God, I saw. And then agree. The Bible says where two shall agree is touching, it's done in Jesus' name. And just agree with the prayer team member and say, hey, we're walking in this victory together. Frank, I just really feel like the God, I don't know if I'm in your ears or not, but I really feel like the God wants to settle something once for all in your heart and your life. And we were having lunch last week, and you said that you confess, I have FOMO. I have fear of missing out. And I just feel like the Lord has given me this scripture, and I just want to give it to you today, that in Psalms chapter 16, David says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. He had property lines that belonged to him, that in the anointing of him as king, that he wasn't saying, God, I want what you're going to give Solomon. Lord, I don't want what you're going to give to this person. Lord, I desire and want what you've given me, my inheritance, what has my name on it from Father God, and that we talk about our spiritual inheritance. He said, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup, and you maintain my lot. So there were lot lines, you can think of it that way, property lines around this, and God fights for nothing. Nothing can shrink your, not anything you've done, not anything that can happen to us can shrink our lot lines. And then he says this, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yeah, I've got a good inheritance. And as you, I just feel like even today, just break this, the FOMO broken in the name of Jesus. You're not, fear of missing out. You're never going to miss out. God has his portion. God's got his lot lines for you. You're not going to miss out. If you like that prophetic word and witness to your heart, you can have it as well. Just say, God, I have a good inheritance. The enemy's not shrinking what God has given me. Amen. If you're here today, just before we go, it said that as we worship the Lord, we see the salvation of our God. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, we don't close the service until we do this because we think it's so important. I'd like to give you the opportunity today just to say, Jesus, come into my life. I want my sins forgiven. I want to begin eternal life right now. If you're online, you can just text in right now, I'm making the decision. If you're here in the room, you can signify you're making the decision to invite Jesus in your life simply by raising your hand. I'll acknowledge it, and we're going to pray together. Is anyone in the room today that would say, I want to be saved today. I want the salvation of the Lord. Is there anyone? I'll just take a second. If you see a hand, wave another hand at me so I can see. All right, I don't see anyone in the room. But for the sake of someone who's watching online today, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Today, I ask you to forgive my sin. Come into my life. Make me brand new. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a praiser. I'm ready to wield the sword. In Jesus' name. Amen. We believe if you prayed that prayer from your heart, you're born again. Hey, online, we prayed that with you. We hope that you'll text in and let us know so we can stand with you. Harvest, let me just pray a prayer of blessing over you today as you go on this great long weekend, our first of the summer. Lord, we pray for protection over each and every family. Lord, I thank you that there are dead bodies laying all over the place today of the principalities and powers. Somebody saw depression finally dead, an addiction dead. Somebody saw their enemy laying dead simply because they wielded the sword that magnified the Lord as we did it together today. Lord, thank you for the power of praise, the sword that's in our hands. Lord, we say as a house of God, we will wield it all the days of our life until you return. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Don't forget, there's prayer at the front. Stand, let somebody stand with you and believe for your miracle.